God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Does God ever expect the impossible of us? Does God ever ask the impossible of you? Sometimes we think, you know, God will never ask you to do something that you cannot do. And I understand the sentiment, and I guess it depends on how you mean that and how you view that. But the truth is, God asks of us, in fact, God demands of us the impossible all the time. Let me give you a very simple example. The Bible says we're to love our neighbor, love one another. Now, that may seem simple, but I'll tell you, as simple as that is, that's impossible. I can't love everyone. I don't even like everyone. I would like to like everyone, but I've got to be honest, I don't. Loving others is not natural. It is supernatural. So does God ever expect something of us that is impossible for us? Well, ask Abram. God came to Abram, and in Genesis 15:5, the Bible says, He, God, brought him, Abram, forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. God said to Abram, Abram, can you see the stars? That's the way your descendants will be, just as numerous as the stars. Look now. What could God see? God can see the infinite. What can you see? Only a small representation of the limitless, numberless stars that God has created. So God sees the infinite. Abram saw the stars. Now here's what I want us to see this morning. A God who owns all you need is not limited by how little you have. The Bible says, after these things, God told Abram, Fear not, Abram. Why would Abram have been fearful? Well, ironically, it was right on the heels of a great victory. Abram had had victory over a king, a very powerful one apparently, named Chedorlaomer, and had retrieved his nephew, that is Abram's nephew, Lot. And perhaps Abram was afraid of retaliation from these kings who'd been defeated. In any event, implicit in each command God gives is a promise. So Abram said, Look, God, you haven't given me any son. And so, look, I've got one in my house, this Eleazar, my servant. Let him be my heir. Abram almost seems to be trying to help God out. God, you've promised me a great nation. I don't even have one son. I guess you'll have to take my servant. Now, if that had been God's plan, that would have been fine. But God says, no, the son I'm going to give you will come from your own bowels. That's pretty direct, is it not? Implicit in each command is a promise. For instance, Acts 1:8. The Bible says, You shall be witnesses unto me. Where? The entire world. Well, I don't even have the inclination to give a tract to the person that serves me supper tomorrow night. That's not natural. That's supernatural. Okay, but in Acts 1:8, before he says, You shall be witnesses, Jesus says, And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When? When the Holy Ghost comes. Why? You shall be witnesses. In other words, God gives what I need. Obedience is our part. God said, Abram, fear not. He was fearful of the past, Chedorlaomer, and the kings who could retaliate. He was fearful about the future, the son he did not have. But he needed to be reminded of who God was and what God had done. In verse 1, God says, I am. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. I'm everything you need. I'm everything you're not. I am. In verse 7, God reminds him of what he had done. I have brought you out of Ur. I will bring you in to a land I've promised. God never expects that which is impossible from you unless it is possible with him. And that's where faith comes in. Verse 6 is the highlight of this chapter, no doubt, and is repeated in the New Testament. And he, that is Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God is pleased by our faith, not by our power. And when I trust God, God gives the power that I need, I lack, and He owns.